Good morning. I'd like to heartily welcome you this morning to this morning's worship service. And I want to greet you this morning out of a few verses found in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Christ Jesus Christ. Your congregation, I just want to thank you for coming this morning. It's a real blessing to be here, and it's an opportunity, a privileged opportunity we have to come together in God's house. We can pray together, we can worship together, we can sing together. And this morning, I pray that we would have prepared our hearts and turned our hearts toward our Heavenly Father. He has given us a beautiful morning. As we drove out, the sky is blue. The sun shines right in our window when we come this way. And it's nice and warm. And God has just provided us with a beautiful morning. May He continue to provide us with a beautiful day. And may, my prayer is this morning that as we leave here this morning, that we could all be encouraged in our walk with Jesus Christ. So let us begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before your throne of much grace and mercy. We all have fallen short of your grace. We've all sinned and rebelled and at times just walked away. And we just thank you again for being steadfast in your love, being steadfast in seeking us. And Lord, this morning I just pray that each of our hearts could be turned towards you, that we could feel your love, that we could experience your forgiveness, and that we could be encouraged this morning to run the race, the journey of life that is before us, as scriptures say, with patience, with endurance, with steadfastness, that we can come to that finish line and we can say, I have done all that is within me to do. I do thank you for each one that has come here. Maybe those that are listening online, just thank you for being here this morning. And Lord, just pray your blessing and this morning upon each one of us. And we do rebuke our enemy who would love to distract us, to discourage us, and to, if he could, derail us from our faith in you. And Lord, we just rebuke him this morning by the blood, by the victory of Jesus Christ, our Savior. The scriptures remind us that if we call on the name of Jesus, Satan has to flee from us. This morning we call on the name of Jesus. Satan would have no part in this message, in these premises, and in our hearts this morning. In these things we all pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. And we'll begin with a couple songs.
Just take your red hymnal and turn to number 395, In the Glory of Life's Morning. 395. Take over.
the name of Christ our Savior, helping him who our help needs. For the cause of Christ our Savior, let us labor all the day, that not ere the task is ended, life's bright sun may pass away. May we live in mortal frailty, always you are very best. Ever do what Christ enjoineth, with much eagerness and zest. For the cause of Christ our Savior, let us labor all the day, that not task is ended, life's bright sun may pass away.
Number 241, you have been to Jesus for the cleansing power. 241.
Thank you for that hearty singing. I hope your answer is yes. What was the question? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? This morning, as we look into God's Word, I want to start off with an opening verses out of the book of Hebrews chapter 2. And I want to read the first three verses. He says, therefore, we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? So far. This morning, when I look at these verses, it's talking to believers. In the first verse, it says, to give attention or to give earnest heed, lest at any time we should let them slip or that we should drift away. Drift away. And that is part of my message this morning, is the drifting away. My friends, which way are you drifting? Toward God? Away from God? Now, he's not talking about unbelievers. He's talking about believers. Verse 2, he says, for if the word spoken by angels was, we could say, true and proved. It says steadfast there, but and every transgression, that means every sin and disobedience, received a just penalty of reward. When we look at around today, I see a lack of the fear of God. We do not consider the penalty of sin and disobedience. We're not afraid of God. We don't respect him. We don't respect his word. And if we truly did, we would drift closer to him. And maybe I'm not pointing out anybody specific, but I'm saying as a general society today. This message is intended to encourage each one of you to get on your boat and drift closer to Jesus. Today we see that there really is a falling away from the faith in God. I want to turn to the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. I'll start at verse 1. It says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in your mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Paul is reminding us that the day of Christ is at hand. And they've thought this for many years. And he says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first. I'm going to pause right there. What day are we looking for? You see, if we are believers in our Lord Jesus Christ, if we are His followers, we are looking for Him. We are looking for the day when He will come and gather His people from out of this world, or earth, I should say, to be with Him. For all eternity. And the writer here is encouraging us that we be not soon shaken, troubled, and that we be steadfast. But then he reminds us in verse 3 that let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first. Falling from where? Is the faith that people had in God and they're drifting away. They're not getting closer to God. In our society, we can see that. We can see that unrighteousness and wickedness is no longer hidden. It's out in the open. And I believe it's having an impact on the church, God's people. The Old Testament, I'm not going to go there today, but I'm just going to mention a few things. It says in Deuteronomy 17, if an entire city went wicked, that city, the inhabitants were to be killed, and the city and its contents were to be burned and reduced to rubble and ashes. An example would be Sodom and Gomorrah, when there was nothing righteous in that city. God judged it. In Deuteronomy 13, we have some people who incited other people to follow after their ways. And in that chapter, it also talks about what they were to do with them, and that was to stone them to death. Then in Leviticus 20, we have anyone who would give their offspring or their seed to the god Molech as a sacrifice was to be stoned to death. Those are some New Old Testament examples of when people drifted away from God. And sometimes we may look at those scriptures and we say, well, we don't serve the God of Molech. Do you know how many children are being aborted and sacrificed today? Do we not offer our children to the God, not to our God? And if we think these things aren't creeping into the people of our church, then we need to wake up. In the New Testament, we are reminded of this falling away, and it comes from a Greek word called and it's called an apostasy. And as I just read, it talks about a falling away. Except there come a falling away first. In some ways, this makes me excited because it says this thing has to happen before Christ comes. In the other way, it makes me sad that, like Paul said, we are so soon shaken in our mind, in our spirit, to drift away from God. So how can we be excited and also sad in the same time? And so I want this to be encouragement. We need to be excited that the day of Christ is coming. The time is coming where Jesus is coming. And he's going to reveal himself. And just for sake today, there's a few more things mentioned in that verse. It says, and that man of sin be revealed. A man of sin. If we look around us today, there's many men of sin. Then he also says, the son of perdition. One will rise, deceive many people. He'll be revealed, a son of perdition. This man will, in verse 4 says, will oppose and exalt himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's what this man is going to do. We could have a great study on that verse alone. But this morning I'm talking about the things that are going to happen, and I'm more focusing on the falling away, the apostasy of the people. In the more classical Greek, apostasia is a technical term for political revolt or rebellion, as we find in the Old Testament. Phrases like this in the New Testament appear often: a fall away, to be led away, to be drawn away, to depart from the faith, to follow destructive ways. All these refer to a rebellion against God and rejecting the truth. And God's church is cautioned to beware of the danger of apostasy. In Galatians 1, verse 6, here he also reminds them that they're so soon drawn away. I'll just read that verse. Galatians 1, verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Unto another gospel. And so Paul warned many times about the dangers of following away. I want to turn to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 1 and 2. It says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressively that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." He says the Spirit speaketh expressively, or we could say openly, that in the latter times or last times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, or we could say deceiving spirits and doctrines of devils, false teachings. There will be teachers that will urge us to follow after their ways. Often when I talk to people, they'll ask me questions about certain things. My answer is sometimes very brief. It says, does it lead you closer to Jesus? Or does it point the way to Jesus? Whatever doctrine there is, if it's based on a man, it's false. There's great teachers. There's great men. But that's all they are. And what they teach and what they preach needs to point to Jesus Christ. Many times there's much works added onto doctrines. And sometimes it's encouraged that those works are their salvation. But there is salvation in none other but Jesus Christ. In 1 Timothy 4 here, in verse 2, he says, speaking lies in hypocrisy. Hypocrisy as being someone we really aren't. I often, when I counsel a young couple that wants to get married, I ask them, are you be true and honest, and are you displaying who you really are? Because sometimes when we... When a man finds this beautiful girl, he likes to present himself as the best man on earth. Which is all fine, but is he really the best man on earth? Is he portraying something that he really isn't in the inside? And same way with the lady. See, when the honeymoon is over and about 2 or 3 weeks later, the truth is revealed. The truth is revealed. And so that's just an example, and I bring that into our spiritual lives. We have teachers sometimes that speak lies in hypocrisy. If I preach to you something today that is unachievable, that I can't even live up to, then I'm really not telling you the truth, am I? I have to be able to live what I preach to you. Otherwise, it's not true. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And then in later in verse 3, and so he goes into a few things that they do. He says, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. those things going on today? They are. Forbidden to marry. You know, marriage was created by God as a sacred and blessed union that a man and wife can have. How many people today are refusing to get married? You know why? Many times they have no good example to follow. There's so many marriages in turmoil. They see mom and dad fight and argue and scrap all the time. Why would they get married? There's doctrines today that say, well, you can't eat certain meats. You know what, if it's a health reason, I understand. But God said everything is to receive with thanksgiving. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused, and if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Sanctified or cleansed. Those are just two examples that are written in 1 Timothy there. Apostasy or the drifting away can be caused by temptation. When it looks good on the other side, you see, following Jesus is not always easy. Jesus says to encourage us to take up our cross daily and follow him. That means that there's times we need to sacrifice. We can't do what the rest of the people do. We can't participate in all things. And so we are tempted to be drawn to the other side where it looks good. But it's only temporal. It's only for a short time. We are told that we need to build on a solid foundation. We need to build on that foundation truth, not hypocrisy. We need integrity. And most of all, we need joy. And we need peace. And all those things, the world or the outside, those that don't believe, they're missing those things. In the book of James, chapter 4, it says that worldliness brings about a falling away. James, chapter 4, verse 4. He says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Enmity would mean there's a division, a friction. It says that, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity? When I read this verse, I always ask the question, what is the world? When the Bible talks about worldliness or the world, what is he talking about? Is he talking about the universe? No. But he's talking about the influence of wickedness. And an example would be is when the children of Israel in the Old Testament went into the land of Canaan, and God says to his children, or to the leader of his children, he says, you will need to fight against the Amorites, the Philistines, and the list is quite long. I can't pronounce all those words. And he says, you will need to fight against those, and you will need to inhabit the land where they were in. And he said, and I don't want you to take wives from them. I don't want you to take their goods. And sometimes they could do that. See, God had those things, and they were to, it wasn't just an easy task to go into the promised land. They had to go in and fight and strive and inhabit it. See, that was to them worldliness, the wickedness that was in those people because they worshiped other gods. And for us today, worldliness or the world is the wickedness we see around us that goes strictly against God. And that's what we fight with, battle with. It says those are the things that are at enmity with God. Because God calls us for righteousness. And holiness, that's where he wants us. Then it says, whosoever therefore will be the friend of the world is the enemy of God. See, we can't be both. We can't be both. Another example would be when Joshua, the people were worshiping idols. It took to them wives of the other people. And in Joshua 24:15, I'm not going to read it, but I'm just going to quote it. It says, he made a choice to the people. He says, I want you to choose this day who you want to serve. Whether it be the gods of the Amorites, or will you worship the true God? And then in the next phrase he said, as for me and my house, we have decided to follow the Lord. He made that choice. So that's what we need to do. If we want to drift closer to God, we need to make that choice and say, as for me, I will follow the Lord. So with that thought, I want to give you all the opportunity to go on bended knee in silent prayer before our almighty holy God and consider him your friend. Talk to him as your friend. If there's something troubling you, tell him about it. So kneel with me in silent prayer at this time. Lord Jesus, we just pray that you will hear these prayers. Amen.
From the Blue Book, number 63, Lord, I'm Coming Home. Number 63, could we stand, please?
Thank you for that song. That's just what I said in the last half an hour. When are we going home? Are we starting to drift closer? Apostasy, or the drifting away due to worldliness, it consists of setting our hearts on amusement and self-gratification. I want you to turn again to the book of James, where we were, chapter 4. And just think about this phrase, worldliness consists of setting our hearts on amusement and our own gratification. It says in verse 1, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Do we know what wars and fightings are? When we fight and we're at war with one another. It says, from where do these come from? He gives us the answer. He says, come they not hence from your own lust that war in your members. What is in our heart, when we focus our heart on just amusement and self-gratification, then we want what I want. And it says, and then come wars and fightings among you. Conflicts. The wars means conflicts. Verse 2, it says, ye lust. Ye lust. We want what someone else has. I want what I want. And I'm determined to get it. It says, ye lust and have not. See, we usually don't lust for what we have. We lust for things that we don't have. It says you will kill. And desire to have. And you won't get it. You can't obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not. It says, because you ask not. There's one word that describes all of this. That word is pride. Pride looks after ourselves. We don't care about the next person. I just want what I want. We fight with others because I can't get what I want. Husband and wives fight because they're desiring things that they're selfish. See, we make these things of gratification our objects of pursuit. I will get it no matter what. I may have told this story before, but I'm going to repeat it. It's been a number of years. And this is a physical aspect. It had to do with my farm, and it had to do with my combine. And I'm a firm believer that I like to ask God, and I have failed in this many times, but I like to ask God to lead me when I buy something, to lead me to the right one. It's quite a few years ago. I had an old combine, had over 6,000 hours on it. It had no chopper. And I was desiring a newer one with some upgrades. And I went to a few auction sales, and they were too much money for my... And I had set a price. I said, God, could you provide this combine for me for this price? And I went to three or four auction sales, and they were all like $15,000 more than my price. And I had already in my heart said, God, I'm okay with it to drive my old combine another year. And as I was looking through some ads, I noticed an old ad from Saskatchewan. And I phoned the farmer. I says, do you still have that combine for sale? Oh, yes, he said, yeah, it's still here. And his asking price was above my price. And then he said, the first guy that brings me this amount of money, it's his. And now we were very close to my price. It's still a little bit more. And he said, but I have someone coming to look at it tonight. I says, if that person does not take it, let me know and I'll be there first thing in the morning. I phoned him later that night and he says, oh, the person didn't show up. And so I went the next morning and looked at it. He said, you can have it for this price and you can have that header and you can have these parts and you can have all. See, I knew that God was answering my prayer. But when we have a desire, it says we don't have because we do not ask. That's an earthly thing. I'm just using that as an example today. How much more in our spiritual life will God not provide? My friends, we need to seek after God's own heart. And then we need to ask and we need to put the pride away and say, God, is this what you want for me? God, would you mind it if I maybe would ask you for a car or a better car? Instead of drifting away in our own desires and lust, let's drift closer to Him. God is like our very loving Father. And He doesn't want to withhold good things from us. He wants to give them to us. But He wants us to ask. Verse 6, it says, in James 4, it says, but He giveth more grace. Wherefore God saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Giveth grace unto the humble. See, when we think that God has moved away from us, it's not God moving away, it's us that moved away from God. And He wants us closer. But the one thing that gets in the way is our pride. See, pride and being close to God does not fit together. He says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Draw near to Him and He will draw near to you. Was verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. He will lift you up. But he wants us to be serious. He wants us to be a faithful people, unwavering people, a people of integrity and faithfulness. In Hebrews 11 and verse 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him." What does it say there? He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He wants to reward us, and he will reward us if we diligently seek him. See, faithlessness and rebellion, they pull us away from the truth. They are forms of apostasy. And when a person apostatizes, he tramples underneath his feet his Savior Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. Faith, obedience, and loyalty to God. Make it possible for us to be close to him. And God calls us to endure the hardships, to be faithful, wait for him for an answer. In Hebrews chapter 11, which I won't read, we read of all those who walk by faith, and some of them had very little faith, and they're mentioned there. Some of them says, "I believe that you are God of heaven and earth." That's all they said. That's all the faith they had. So today, my friends, I encourage you, let us seek God with our whole heart. With all our mind, with all our heart, with all our soul. Let's repent of our prideful nature that we have. In chapter 10, verse 36, just a little bit back there, he says, "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive his promise." That's his promise to us. That when we have done the will of God, that we might receive his promise. And he wants to give us everything he has promised to us. I hope this message was an encouragement to you. Because it's an encouragement to me. And it's an encouragement to put God first in everything that I desire. I've often said this. I had many dreams of accomplishing some things, some projects, and I've hauled some of them to the dump or scrap metal. Have no time. And they just took up a space in my thought process that I wanted to accomplish some things yet, and I just got rid of them. I still have a few more. Maybe I need to get rid of more. Let our desire be to God. Let us follow in the way where he wants us to go, is my prayer for each of us. Let us close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the God you are. How you see each of our hearts, and you care about us. Even when we drift away, you want us to come back. You want us closer. You want us near to you. Lord, would you bless this congregation this morning with a true desire for your love, for just spending time with you, whether it's in your word, whether it's in prayer, or whether it's just observing your creation of how beautiful you made everything. Lord, we just ask for healing upon those that are sick and not well. We pray for the elderly that maybe cannot be as mobile as they want to be, or maybe that they can't remember the things that they would like to remember. Would you be with them in a special way? I pray for the young people that you would guard them and protect them, and that they could have the courage to resist the temptations of this world. And Father, may each of us just be an encouragement to each other. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. I have a prayer request before we kneel for prayer. Pray for Tina Friesen. She has had knee surgery 3 months ago. It didn't heal and has now had the second surgery. Pray for healing in her knee. Together we can pray and God will answer. So let us kneel in silent prayer. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Let's take your blue songbook and turn to number 293. God will take care of you. 293.
God will take care of you.
Good morning. Thank you, Brother Larry, for that encouraging message this morning. And thank you for song leaders and pianists for leading us in singing. Just a few short announcements this morning. As you have noticed in the bulletin, that the church office will be closed August 19th through September 6th. Art and Kathy are planning on the holidays, so just take note of that. And we do still have some serving opportunities. The Sunday school is looking for a helper for Dawson. He is a special needs child who requires one-on-one attention. Anyone who is interested has any questions, please contact Henry Cron or Peter Martins. And also, the sound booth is still looking for more helpers in the sound booth. Feel free to contact Marcus Clausen if you're interested. And we also have another need. This is for our Sunday school teacher, and this is for class 25, and they're from age 13 to 14. So if anybody is interested in helping out in Sunday school, which is a very good experience. I've done it myself for many years. It is a great opportunity to learn and to teach scripture and to teach about God. And also, I would just like to go over the prayer list. Prayers and condolences for the family of Katharina Friesen. She passed away at the foyer in Notre Dame care home on August 6th. And prayers and condolences to George Cron and family on the passing of his wife, Sarah, mother to Mary Cron from our church. Prayers for strength and comfort in this difficult time. Also, please pray for all the ministerial families. Pray for the Sunday school teachers and the youth leaders. Please also pray for government and their leaders. And also, I'd just like to announce on behalf of Dave and Mary Wheeler, they're very, very thankful for all the prayer support that they've had. Dave has gone through some surgery, from heart bypass surgery. And I just had a discussion with him this morning. He wants it made known that whatever the doctors and the nurses do, that all the honor and the glory is supposed to go to our Lord Jesus Christ. All wisdom, all knowledge, and all understanding, it all comes from God. It all comes from Jesus. So to him be all glory. Thank you and have a blessed Sunday.
Thank you for those announcements. Just want to encourage us all to, that the Spirit of God directs us or nudges us to listen to His Spirit. I often hear the phrase, I have nothing more to share with you. I have lots more to share with you. I brought you a message today that I had no intentions of bringing. And I haven't even started on the message that I really had prepared. But the Holy Spirit nudged me in a different direction this morning. And I felt I had to go in that direction. Just open up your hearts and let the Holy Spirit lead you. I want to close with the benediction we find in the book of Ephesians. And I've added a few more verses there. That he would grant you, according to his riches of his glory, to be strengthened with the might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height, and to know the love of God which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. May you have a blessed week, and God be with you till we meet again.